Well, good morning, everyone.
What?
Who said someone? That was great. I'll tell you what, this is my favorite day of the year so far. I love the cold. I think I'm a polar bear in my heart. I know some of you walked in freezing, but winter's finally here, and officially it's here, so giddy up.
Good job.
I just wanted to introduce somebody. Some of you have met Kim Hollett, our new executive pastor, but Kim's here with us every Sunday, but here today. So Tim and I are, Kim, I'll call you Kim. Kim and I are going to be team teaching this morning, so you get to hear from both of us, but welcome, Kim. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks.
Kim's been around for 2 months, a day over 2 months, I believe.
Yep.
So many of you have met her, but you'll get a chance to hear from her today and hear a little bit of her heart. But as we're in the fourth week of Advent, we get to pause in the season. It's one of my favorite seasons every year because it leads up to Christmas. It's an opportunity for us to pause and reflect on Jesus's first coming as a baby, but also to look to the future with anticipation of his second coming. And last week, we spent time looking at the story of Mary and Joseph, and we used the book of Matthew. Now, Matthew, for some reason, he goes right from the angel talking to Joseph to Jesus being born. He left out a whole lot, didn't he, everyone? There's a whole lot that happens in that period of time. But today, we're going to look at the book of Luke, because Luke is often believed to be and is a physician, and in his attention to detail, he gives much more of the story as to what happened in those months from the angels speaking to Mary and Joseph to Jesus actually being born. And as we follow along in the book of Luke today, you will see, I'll just tell you right now, maybe the biggest disruption in the history of the world that turned out to be a blessing for all people. You see, Mary, in her pregnancy, she probably thought she would be able to plan as she wanted, that she would have her mother and family and friends with her when she gave birth. Maybe there'd even be a midwife present, somebody to help in the process. But as we'll see in the scripture, that's not the way it happens according to Dr. Luke as he records the events. You see, Luke tells us, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. You had no choice. So Joseph also went from the up, So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David. Hold on to that. We'll come back to it. Because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
So this census that Caesar Augustus had decreed was not something that Mary and Joseph could just opt out of. It's not like jury duty where you can figure out a way to get out of it. When the Roman government asked you to do something, you had to figure out. Either you walked or you rode a donkey, and you went back to your hometown, and they wanted to gather data and taxes from you. And if they asked that of you, you did it. You figured it out. And that's where we actually find Mary and Joseph in this passage of scripture. They are on their way to Bethlehem because that's where Joseph is from. And Mary is extremely pregnant at this time, riding a donkey miles and miles. And we're going to see in just a minute when we read verse 6 that this interruption becomes quite a significant disruption in the lives of Mary and Joseph. So let's look at what verse 6 says. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So there goes Mary's birth plan out the window. It seems that God had a different idea of how he wanted his son to be born, and his idea did not include a warm house, a new cozy crib for the baby, and lots of people around who loved this young couple and had experience and could help with this whole new thing that they're going through, this birth process. In fact, I would like to suggest that if you and I sit back and look at God's birth plan, we would probably say that God's birth plan was not good. That's how it is sometimes, isn't it? God's ways are different than ours. God's plan included a place where animals lived, and a manger instead of a crib, and only poor, inexperienced Joseph to help out with the birth of the baby. It is not hard to imagine that Mary and Joseph could have been saying in their heads, thinking, or even to each other out loud, God, what are you doing? This is not a normal situation for a normal baby to be born in, much less the promised Savior of the world. We know that Scripture actually tells us God's ways are higher than our ways. Sometimes, I think, when we've heard the Christmas story so much, we get to the point where we start to miss some of the quiet and more subtle things that God is doing in the middle of this amazing story. But what we don't want you to miss today is this really cool thing that we've pulled out that we're looking at. It's the idea that God is using this interruption of the census in Mary and Joseph's life to serve his purposes. God's in the middle of all of this, in the middle of this interruption. So if there is a big idea that we want you to hang on to today to take with you, it is that God is working in life's interruptions.
You see, Jesus, as the prophecies in the Old Testament tell us, he had to be born in Bethlehem. For generations, the people who studied the scriptures knew this to be true. And Jesus and Mary and Joseph lived up in Nazareth, and they had to find a way, and God used this interruption to get them to where Jesus would be born. The prophet Micah, years and decades and generations before, said these words, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are of old, from ancient times." Both Matthew and Luke point the picture that Jesus needed to come from the town of David, from where David was raised, where David was anointed king, and from not too far from that, where the city of David would one day stand. In 1 Samuel, it is clear that this was the place. So God used this interruption of drawing Mary and Joseph out of what was normal, taking them to the place they needed to be. And I think sometimes we lose sight of the importance of interruptions or disruptions in our lives, because we think things should just go smoothly. The prophet Jeremiah also spoke these words about the line and the status of the Messiah. "The days are coming," writes Jeremiah, or declares the Lord, "when I will rise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land." You see, we see this whole thing as an interruption. We see it as disorderly, but in God's way of looking at it, it is exactly what he planned. He knew these things were going to have to come to pass. He knew the Savior, that his son, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. He knew all of these things. I bet he had Mary and Joseph tagged as the parents of Jesus, the earthly parents, from the day they were born. None of this was a surprise to God, but for some reason, sometimes we think the things that happen, God doesn't know about. Now, I need to say this, because this is very important. Not all of the disruptions that God has that happen in the world are from God, but I can say that God works in life's interruptions each and every day. So even though you may think the things in your life are out of control, they don't make sense, you're wondering which end is up, and you think God might even be angry with you or have some beef with you, let me say that again. God is working in life's interruptions. Hear this, please. You are never alone. You are never taking on the interruptions and the difficulties of life by yourself. God is walking with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. He is with you. So I don't know what your challenge is, but please know that God is working in life's interruptions.
So let me ask us a couple questions. I can probably guess that most of us have made some plans for the week of Christmas. Yes? Yeah? Okay. Are you guys awake today? And some of you who are super planners have probably already planned into the new year. Yes? Yeah, okay. Super planners are awake today. All right. So what if we took those plans and we held them with open hands and we allowed God to do and interrupt them however he would like? Now, some of us that are a little bit more control-ish are probably breaking out in a sweat right now, okay? I've got a different question for you then. Do we really believe, in the midst of some of the most significant interruptions in our lives, do we really believe that God could be working, even when it doesn't look like it to us? Could we maybe respond the way that Mary did? Now, one of the beautiful things about our God, there are many, but one of the beautiful things is that he gave us scripture. And in the scripture, he gives us even more of Mary's response. So we hear the one-liner of in Luke when she talks to the angel and he says that you're going to be the chosen one to give birth to the Son of God. And she says, I'm your servant, and she's all in. But we get more of a response that gives us an even better idea, because I don't know about you, but if someone interrupted me the way that God interrupted Mary, I think it would take me a little bit longer to get to the I'm your servant part of this. So we're going to go and we're actually going to look at this response that we have from Mary and learn from her. That's one of the beautiful things about scripture, isn't it? God is so smart. So I'm going to give you a little bit of context. This passage is in Luke. It's in Luke 1. We're going to start at verse 46. But the context of this passage is that Mary has gone to visit her relative Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is welcoming Mary in. She's giving her a word of encouragement. And in the midst of this time, Mary just opens up and starts to praise God. Just lifts her head and pours out this absolutely amazing praise to him and about him. So before we get there, I want you to go back and think about this with me, because this is Mary's interruption. This is, let's just recap here what we've got Mary, how she's being interrupted. She is a poor, unwed, teenage girl who has been told she has been chosen to give birth to the Son of God. None of this is going to be easy for her. None of it. Yet, her response is amazing. So let's go ahead, let's look at this and see what she says. We're going to start in verse 46. So read along with me so you can see it. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Isn't that incredible? This is Mary's response to the interruption that God is putting in front of her. And she lifts her head and she starts to praise him. She says, "I'm all in." She is looking at God from a different view. Definitely a different view than I am normally prone to do, which I could guess some of you are with me in that, right? Let's look at what else she says here. In verse 50, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Do you know what Mary is doing here? She is reminding her soul that God is good all the time, even when it doesn't look like it to us. Even in the interruptions, she is recalling to mind who God is, his character. And then she's going further than that, and she's saying, look at everything he has done. He is trustworthy. So God is continuing to work, has worked, is continuing to work, and will always work in the favor of those he loves. And Mary is reminding herself of this and bringing him great praise. But this isn't just about Mary. This isn't just about her life. This is her giving praise to God, and we can learn from her. But this is also calling forth and calling out what Jesus, this promised baby, is actually going to do. He is going to be a disruption, an amazing disruption that comes in that our world desperately needs, and he's going to turn things upside down. Mary actually talks about this, so I'm just going to read this piece. It's a paraphrase of how Mary kind of talks about this so that you can hear some of the things that Jesus is going to do. He will scatter the proud and bring down mighty rulers. This is my favorite. He will feed the hungry and disappoint the rich. He will be helpful and merciful to his servants, just as has been promised. Jesus would take the ways of the world, set them upside down in order to initiate the coming in of his kingdom. It's amazing. This promised baby, this is what he was going to do. And we're still affected by it today. Jesus' birth was a disruption that would flip everything upside down.
Have you ever experienced that flipping of things upside down in your life?
Sure.
You know, when I thought about this passage, and this is where I'm going to divert from a little bit from what I was going to say, because I think this is important. When people come to a church like this, any church across the area, it doesn't matter. When they come to a church like this, sometimes we walk in the door thinking we have it all figured out. Sometimes we walk through the door knowing we don't have it all figured out. But in a room like this, and this is where it gets really hard, guys. In a room like this, there are people who have been following Jesus for years, for decades perhaps. And if I were going to walk around to all the people I know in this room who've been following Jesus for more than just a little bit of time, and if I ask them the question, has Jesus flipped your life upside down?
Amen.
I bet there would be some who wouldn't even know what that looks like. There would be others who would say, oh yeah. I was heading over here. I was on a path to destruction. I was doing this, that, or the other thing. Jesus intervened, and my life has been totally different. Praise God for those people. But I want to highlight some who have been maybe attending this church for years, and he has not yet flipped your life upside down. As your pastor, as somebody who stands up here knowing the importance of what it looks like to truly follow Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, I want to encourage you to look into the face of your Savior and understand that life following Jesus is not status quo. It's not boring. It's an adventure each and every day. Do you think Mary and Joseph thought following Jesus was easy or following God was easy? He pulled them out of their everyday, ordinary life, and he pulled them up to this place where said, hey, Mary, you're going to be the birth, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. That's not normal.
Yeah.
But yet, that's how our God works. He flips our lives upside down, and he desires to use us to do incredible things. to not live as we've always lived, to not consider things that maybe the way that you have for years or your family has. He wants you to break family patterns, family sin. He wants you to step out and live for him in a reckless almost way. Now, don't say reckless where I mean you're just laying waste all around you. Reckless where I mean you're following Jesus no matter the cost. That's the call in our hearts. And as he called Mary and Joseph out of normalcy into this life of abundance, that's what happened. Do you think Mary anticipated any of this? Do you think she wanted it? But here in the middle of the story, in the middle of interruption and disruption, we see Mary worship God and fall down and say, "He is more than enough. His character precedes him. I can't believe I get to do this. I get to do this. It's a privilege. It's an honor." And I think as we turn our perspectives around and say, it's a privilege and an honor to be interrupted by Jesus to live different lives, that's where I think we need to live. Not coming to church on Sunday because it's what we do. Coming to church on the Sunday because you get to experience Jesus with your brothers and sisters in faith. That's why we gather. So how does this relate to this whole story? I have no idea. God orchestrated these events exactly the way he wanted. He put them in place. Mary looked upon them and she said, "My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She worshiped. In the middle of the challenge, in the middle of the pain, she could have run the other way, but she fell down and she worshiped God. I think we could all learn from that. How many of you have experienced a disruption at some point in the last month? Raise your hands, go ahead, we all have. And if you haven't raised your hand, you have and you just didn't raise your hand. But when the disruptions in your life come, do you get angry or do you worship? When the challenges come, do you run the other way or do you hold on to your heavenly Father with all of who you are and say, "I have nowhere else to turn. It's you and me." In ordinary interruptions and in life-changing disruptions, God is working and he is with you every day. So I have to make this really practical because I think there's room for us all, every one of us, to learn. I know, boy, do I know, that people's lives have been impacted by disease. It's a huge interruption, right? Whether it be cancer, whether it be, you know, other illnesses, whether it be the pain of old age, those can be disruptions to our lives. Any of you who have children, as much as you love your kids, they're a disruption. They're a beautiful disruption. But one that breaks your cycle of sleep, one that causes you to be on call 24 hours a day, a disruption that if you don't look at it properly can be really devastating. Maybe the disruption for you is the loss of a job or finding a new job, and all of a sudden your life just doesn't make sense because you're trying to either find a new job or integrate into the new place in which you're employed, and it's just hard. That's a disruption. Maybe all of your holiday plans have fallen apart for some reason that is beyond your control. You see, every person in this room has experienced disruptions. And every person in this room has the opportunity to worship God in the middle of the challenge. So for those of you who have been following Jesus, maybe for decades, this is what I want you to do. If you're in the middle of pain, if there's something that just doesn't make sense, I want you to look back at previous points in your life where you have seen God show up, where you have seen him where you've seen him be faithful, where you have seen him heal, where you have seen him provide in ways that you didn't even know were possible. If you're in the middle of the disruption, look back and understand that God is good. Because when you're in the middle of the chaos, you might not understand that to be true, but if you look back and you can see points in your life where he was, it might be the encouragement you need. And then worship that God. Worship him because he is worthy of worship. If you've just been following Jesus for a little bit, or maybe when I say follow Jesus, you don't even know what I'm talking about yet. And you have challenges in your life, but you don't think you have anything to look back on because your life has been, just to say it, it's been messy. Two things. God has been working. You just don't have eyes to see it yet.
Yes. Margaret.
The other encouragement, if you know somebody who has been walking with God for a while, borrow their stories. Ask them about times in their life where they have seen God be faithful. Ask them about the challenges they've had and how God has provided in abundant ways. Borrow their stories. See and understand the character of God and then worship him. Because it's when we humble ourselves and worship him and understand that he is good, we it's like we're handing over all of the struggles and saying, God, I am yours. Use me. The other way to hear the voice of God in the middle of your struggles is to spend time engaging with the scripture. Read the word of God. Let the truth in scripture just pour over you. I was talking to one guy just before service. I'll hold his name. He just picked up the Bible for the first time this week in his life. He's reading the book of Mark. And he was telling me how Jesus has come alive to him as he's read the scriptures. Let that be your story too. That if you're in the middle of struggle, you don't put the book down and push it off to the side, but you hold it and you embrace it. And maybe you, like this guy, start in the Gospel of Mark and you just start reading and see how good Jesus is. God is with you in the middle of your struggles, and it is right to worship him. In the disruptions of life, in the interruptions of the things that happen, we are to worship our God. That's it, church. And I believe that as we do that as a body, as a family, as we learn to react like that in the middle of our struggles, we'll be a light to the world because nobody else does that. People get angry, people gossip, people curse out, they just act in all kinds of ways. But as we rise up and we say, no, in the middle of my pain, there's a God who loves me, people will see and understand that that's abnormal. And they'll want the same thing. But if you're in the middle of struggle today, if your life's been interrupted or disrupted, let me say this. God is with you. You are not alone. Worship him. Understand that he is God. And follow him. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are with us, that you are good, that you are present in our world, that we're not orphans or abandoned. We thank you for the promises we find in Scripture that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, that is so important. Help us to understand those words. Let them sink deep in our hearts. Father, as we read scripture, we understand that you sent your son into this world because you loved us and you saw the condition of our world and you wanted to change our future, our outlook, all that was happening. So you sent your son. We thank you for that truth. In this Christmas season, as we remember that child who was born in a manger, we worship you. We thank you. Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters in this room who are in the middle of disruption. Lord, I pray that they would experience your peace, your presence, and your touch on their lives. Be with us. And I pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Wow.
We're going to sing one more song together. This is a song we often only sing at Christmas. You'll understand why. You'll recognize the song. But really look at the words and ask yourself, is this really a Christmas song, or is it the most beautiful picture of Jesus in his life? Because I think as you sing a song that may be pretty normal for you, and if you look a little deeper, you will see the beautiful picture, a beautiful picture of who our God is. So why don't you stand where you are and let's sing this song as our prayer before we leave today.